T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
One of the great football writers out there, the great Peter King, Monday morning quarterback. Peter, Joe, and Evan, how you doing?
Peter, how are you?
I'm doing well, guys. How about you?
Good.
We're doing better than Ben McAdoo.
Indeed.
Can Ben McAdoo survive this, in your mind?
If it keeps going like this, I doubt it. But, again, you know, the thing about John Mara that everybody, has to realize is that he's never been a guy who makes a decision quickly or in any way rashly. And so I don't think rashly is a word, but he's not rash. Mm. I should say that.
Works well.
And so even though when I look at their schedule, I mean, it's weird to say that they have to win this game at San Francisco, but I don't know how they're going to go better than 2-14 if they lose this game. I mean, Kansas City, Washington, Dallas, Philadelphia, you know, at Oakland. Where are the wins? I'd like to see. Where exactly are the wins? If you don't beat the San Francisco 49ers, I mean, you look at the rest of the schedule, maybe at Arizona, but it's likely that Arizona will have Carson Palmer back for that game in Week 16. So, I think it looks bad for him, but again, I wrote this the other day. You know, in the last 80 years, there's only been one coach that has lasted 2 years or less with the New York Giants, and his name is Ray Hanley. And although the personality of Ben McAdoo is quite mindful of Ray Hanley, I still think that Ray Hanley was sort of almost the ultimate outlier, and it would have to be an absolute disaster. It's turning into one.
But, on its way, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he's done yet. And honestly, the way I look at this thing is that anytime you're in a really, really bad way, unless it's a situation where it's a total rebuild like San Francisco, you look at Cleveland, you look at the Giants, you're going to have absolute dysfunction, unhappiness, anger, fan resentment, everything like that. And we'll just have to see where we are at the end of the year.
Right now, when you look at the state of the NFC, I mean, there's a lot of teams in the NFC right now, you know, whether it's the Eagles, whether it's the Vikings, whether it's the Saints, whether it's the Rams, that probably people didn't see as being in first place, you know, at the halfway point in the season. Which one of those teams do you buy the most? I mean, how about that right now in your mind, Pete?
I buy the Eagles the most.
Okay.
And the second team I buy is the Rams. And, you know, it's, you know, people will say, wow, the Rams. How do you love the Rams? Well, you know, I look at the Rams the last 3 weeks. They go to Jacksonville, and, you know, they go three time zones away, and they beat the Jaguars by double digits. Then they go to London, and they play the Arizona Cardinals, and they beat them 33-0.
Yeah, right, right.
And then they play the Giants, who stink right now, but they wipe the floor with the Giants, and an absolutely one of the most embarrassing losses, I think, in recent Giants history. And, you tell me right now, what can't the Los Angeles Rams do? I mean, they have a dominating front led by Aaron Donald, and they have a multiple offense that can do a lot of different things, and every single one of them they do well. And look, the Los Angeles Rams have gone from, I mean, last year, the Cleveland Browns outscored them by 40 points, and they were the worst offensive team in football. And now they're the best offensive team in football. They're scoring per game more than anybody in football. And they're on the way to almost lapping the field like the Falcons did last year. So I'm saying everybody is waiting. Well, you know, the Rams will come down to earth. I mean, maybe they will, but you tell me, what can't they do well? And I think they're a pretty solid team.
I'll ask you about another NFC team in first place, the Vikings. Case Keenum's done a fine job. They've won games. They've won, what, four in a row? But Teddy Bridgewater is now practicing. Do you see them turning the reins over to Teddy Bridgewater at some point?
At some point, yes. Immediately, no. I mean, first of all, I think it's the right decision by Mike Zimmer to not say, Teddy, you're healthy, you're our guy. I mean, there's a couple of reasons why. All right, Teddy Bridgewater has missed the last 24 games. He's missed the last year and a half for this team. And, okay, so he's healthy enough to play now. Is he 100%? No. But he's healthy enough to play right now. Do you want to send him to the Wolves at Washington Sunday? Do you want to send him to the Wolves the following week against the Rams at home? Do you want to send him to the Wolves the following week after that in a must-win game, a short week on Thanksgiving against the Detroit Lions in Detroit? I mean, I'm not saying that I want to hide him for the rest of the year, but what I am saying is let's see if Case Keenum continues to play well. And you're right about that. Case Keenum has done a nice job. He hasn't been dominant. He hasn't been great. But I just will continue to say that, you know, it's now been almost 23 months since Teddy Bridgewater has played a game of football. That's a long time. And he was playing well when he last played, but he wasn't one of the best quarterbacks in football. And I'm not trying to say that I don't think he should be their quarterback of the future at all. I'm simply trying to say that I think people are looking at this and looking at Mike Zimmer and saying, what are you doing playing Case Keenum instead of Bridgewater? I mean, I think it's a good decision. If I were him, honestly, what I'd be doing the next 3 weeks is I would be giving Teddy Bridgewater a couple of series every game. And I would, even in the middle of games that they really needed to win, because I want to see Teddy Bridgewater. I want to see how he's moving out there. And I want to see his confidence out there in his leg.
Interesting. That's an interesting approach. You don't see that too much in the NFL, that's for sure. It's like a college approach. You know what I mean, Peter?
Right, right. But, I mean, this is an unusual situation. A guy who was your quarterback had one of the most devastating injuries seen recently in football history. And so, you know, along with the kind of damage that people wondered, is he ever going to be able to play football again? So that's why, rather than just say, you're our starting quarterback, how in the world can you say that when you haven't seen him play football nearly 2 years? So
right.
I think they got to be cautious with him.
Talking football with Peter King, the Saints lose their first two. They've won six in a row. They're playing defense. They're running the ball with those two guys, Kamara and Ingram. How about New Orleans, Pete?
My feeling is that, and I talked to Sean Payton Sunday night about this, if you look at the way the Saints have basically built their team this year, you know, because this was a gigantic year. This was 7-9, 7-9, 7-9.
Right, right.
Okay? And now the Saints say, okay, what we're doing isn't working. So we're going to get rid of one of our big weapons for Drew Brees, Brandon Cooks, and we're going to take that pick, the last pick of the first round, and we're going to try to turn him in to a starter at a big need position. They take Ryan Ramczyk at number 32, the tackle from Wisconsin. He has played more snaps on the offensive line this year, playing right tackle, than anybody on that line. And I would argue that he's played better than anybody on that line this year. And that is a vital need to start getting younger on the offensive line and getting a lot better on the offensive line. So that's a huge pick. Marshawn Lattimore, they pick number 11 overall, the corner from Ohio State, plays with the confidence of Deion Sanders when he walks into the building. And I talked to him the other day, and I said, is your goal to be Defensive Rookie of the Year? And he said, well, obviously I want to be Defensive Rookie of the Year, but my goal is to make the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And so I'm thinking to myself, man, you played eight games. That's a pretty lofty goal for eight games. But it isn't just Lattimore who's playing great in that secondary. You know, they took a guy in the second round that was an absolute, you know, nobody thought, hey, great pick. Everybody just said, Marcus Williams, safety, Utah. And Marcus Williams now has been at least as good at his position as Marshawn Lattimore has been at his position. So Marcus Williams, Marshawn Lattimore, two rookies in the secondary, have allowed the New Orleans Saints to play really aggressive in their defensive front, knowing that if a quarterback has to take chances in the secondary, the quarterback most often is going to lose. And you've already seen it one time this year. Last drive of the game, Marshawn Lattimore has an interception against the Chicago Bears to close out that game against the Bears. And so this is a team that has done great in the draft and in playing their draft choices right away, and that is the reason why you can afford to have Breeze be like 85% as potent as he normally is, but just say, hey, listen, we're going to win the time of possession battle, and we don't have to score 38 a game anymore. We're going to be fine winning games 27-13.
Yeah, and they certainly have. We're talking to Peter King. In that division, you look at Atlanta, even the four wins they have, a lot of them were pretty unimpressive. The game against the Jets, the game they were very fortunate to beat the Lions earlier this year with that runoff. How do you explain it with Atlanta? Is it as simple as the coaching changes on offense? What's going on with the Falcons now?
I think the Falcons entered this year saying that we're not changing anything on offense. We're going to be the aggressive offensive team, attack, 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 that we were all year last year. And I just have this feeling, and I've always kind of felt this way, that a good coach doesn't do the same thing every Sunday. He doesn't say, we're going to attack. Does Bill Belichick say, we're going to open it up and we're going to have Brady throwing bombs all game? No. You know what he does? He walks in every Wednesday, presents the game plan to the players, and he says, fellas, this week, this is the best way for us to beat Team X, whoever they're playing this week. Okay? And some weeks, it's going to be Tom Brady handing off, you know, 33 times. Some weeks it's going to be Brady throwing it 42 times. You know, it depends on the game. But the Atlanta Falcons have this thing, hey, we're going to be aggressive. We're going to challenge teams down the field and everything like that. Especially when your trigger man, Kyle Shanahan, who is the reason for all that optimism and all that aggressiveness, is gone. You know, to me, I keep hearing this stuff out of the Falcons, this immense confidence. We're going to attack people. Well, I mean, I looked this morning, all right, and in their five games, I agree with you guys. I mean, that game against the Jets, that's one of the luckiest wins of this year.
No doubt.
You know, four fumbles between Alex Mack and Matt Ryan. Okay, it's raining, but come on, I don't care if there's a blizzard and it's blowing 80 miles an hour. Four fumbled center quarterback exchanges, that's ridiculous. But you look at them. And every year, every game last year, they're scoring 30, 35, 38. But, and I just called it up, 17, 17, 7, 25 against the Jets, and 17. I mean, this is now a bottom half of the league offense. And I'm shocked to say that, but you are what your record says you are. And the Atlanta Falcons should, in my opinion, accept the fact that their bread and butter should be Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman. And, you know, if you're averaging 4.5, 4.8 a carry, whatever it is, between those two guys, if you're averaging that, why are you trying to put a round peg into a square hole? Run the ball. Keep running it. Mm. And I think that's what they should be doing.
Big drop by Julio Jones in that game last week against Carolina.
Oh, my God. And you've never seen him have a drop like that.
Huge drop. Yeah. And even in the Jet game, I know it was in the rain, but the Claiborne, before he got hurt in that game, took him right out of that game, Pete. He did nothing until Claiborne got hurt, and they hit him for about a 50-yard bomb. But you're right about that. You know, before I let you go, I just want to – I'm not even going to ask you about the Jets. I'm very happy where they are right now. Could be – they should have one more win. They should probably beat Miami. Probably beat Atlanta, too, but we'll leave that alone for now. What's your thoughts on the Bills? They're 5-3. The Jets just beat them up pretty good last Thursday night. You buying Buffalo or not?
You know, I had to pick the playoffs, you know, this week at midseason. We had to rewrite our playoff bracket. And I picked the Bills to make it. And you know why I did? Not because I think that they're going to be a team that's going to have some zits and is going to have some issues, okay? But I think that the two games that I really liked out of this team were Tampa and Oakland. You know, in those two games, they put up 64 points or 68 points or something like that. But they played impressively on offense. Even though LeSean McCoy has not been an explosive back this year, he's been a back that's allowed them to control the clock when he's on. And, you know, to me, look at Tyrod Taylor. Okay, like this is vastly underrated. Okay, everybody always questions Tyrod Taylor. But let me just say this. 8 games for the Buffalo Bills this year. Tyrod Taylor has turned it over 3 times in 8 games. Mm. Look at all the other young quarterbacks who are really having trouble holding on to the ball and not turning it over. And right now, that has been, I'm not saying it's an epidemic, but, I mean, Jameis Winston is having some problems with that. Other young quarterbacks are having problems. But right now, Tyrod Taylor is doing exactly what they tell him to do, which is don't turn it over, manage the game, take your chances when you have them. And again, the one thing I'd like to see him do, I'd like to see him and Zay Jones connect a little bit more downfield. I love Zay Jones, loved him in the draft. They've got to turn him loose a little bit more downfield than they have. But I like the Bills. I don't love them. I like them. The only other thing I'd say about Buffalo down the stretch is, I mean, this is if they can survive. I mean, the next 4 weeks they got as tough a schedule as there is. New Orleans at home, at the Chargers, at Kansas City, New England at home.
Mm.
I mean, they've got to go 2-2 there, and so it's weird to say they almost have to win this game Sunday against New Orleans, and that's pretty tough when somebody says you got to beat a team wherever you're playing them, home on the face of the moon. It doesn't matter. A team that's won 6 in a row and has really been impressive in doing so.
Tell us more, by the way, about the SeatGeek app for all fans that want to go to a football game this weekend.
Well, guys, SeatGeek has been a great partner to the MMQB, and I appreciate their sponsorship and their help to us in a weird media environment these days. But the thing I love about SeatGeek, we've talked about this, is that you put the app on your phone and you put your thumb on it, and 90 seconds later, you've got tickets to whatever game you want to go to on your phone. You don't have to worry about it. Don't have to print them out. You don't have to do anything. They come right on your phone, and you do it now. You get that app on your phone, and you put in the word, you promo code KING, K-I-N-G, and your first ticket order, you get $20 back. So, I don't know. It's a can't-lose thing. I love it. I use it. It's so easy, and I hope some of your listeners do.
Peter, great job. Always a pleasure, Pete. Always.
All the best, guys. Hey, I appreciate you having me on.
All right, man.
Great Peter King, yep. MMQB.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.